Is your garage door messed up? Is it broken? Is it just stuck? Is it ugly and in need of a complete replacement? Discount Garage Doors is who you need to call immediately. 866-420-DOOR. 866-420-DOOR. Their website, dgdoors.com. This is a great local Tampa Bay area company that has grown and services 18 counties across Florida. They're going to give you a free same-day service call. Free same-day service call. That means they're going to give you a diagnosis, tell you everything that needs to be fixed, if they can fix it. Otherwise, if you need a new door, they've got a great selection, and it's Discount Garage Doors. The prices are fantastic. They will beat other companies' estimates. And again, doesn't cost anything for them to come out and tell you everything you need to know. Discount Garage Doors, 866-420-DOOR. Visit dgdoors.com and use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Joe Bucks Fan at their website. There's other money-saving coupons as well. dgdoors.com. Happy Monday, Bucks fans. It's Steve Isbitz here, one of the Joes at joebucksfan.com. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast presented by Discount Garage Doors. It's May 7th, and the season is moving along. The draft is done, of course. Rookie minicamp starts the end of the week, but there's a lot going on, plenty going on. We appreciate all of you who support the podcast. Subscribe, Google Play, iTunes, Podbean. It just gets you an alert every time it's posted. And, of course, you can listen right there and leave a review. Love to hear the reviews, positive and negative. Plenty of thick skin around here. Believe me, we expect plenty of haters and plenty of love. It's just the way it goes. Now, what did I want to talk about today? One thing that's bugging me. It's confusing me and bugging me all at the same time. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm just trying to make some sense of it. And that's the whole concept that the Buccaneers played really hard last year, right? That's what we heard from the organization. A lot of players praised how hard the team played all the way to the end. The Glazers, to me and to other media outlets, said the same thing. A big reason they were proud of Dirk Cutter, big reason he came back, is how hard the team kept fighting and battling in close games. And the Bucks are hanging a lot of their optimism on close games. And I'm good with that. I want a team that plays hard. But on the flip side, I'm trying to figure out, can you play hard and still be soft? Because Jason Light, in many ways, and look, it's clear what happened in this draft and in this offseason, they looked at the trenches of this team and said, we're soft, we're weak, and we play soft, and we have a focus on guys. Light even said this himself. We need to focus on guys who are dogs, who are animals, who play to the end of the whistle. The Alex Kappa, he's a bouncer. I love this guy's film, the third-round pick. To Vita Vea, nasty. And Ryan Jensen, the center, nasty. Everybody, the newcomers, are all nasty. At least have that reputation. A lot of dog. And that's what the Bucks want. So I'm trying to wrap my head around, okay, at the same time, they're telling me how hard the team played, how they battled and how they fought and how the games were close and, you know, play here, play there. And Dirk Cutter, 3-7 in one score games, he's talking about. And he's telling the team, we learned from O.J. Howard, you know, just 5 red zone plays. That could be the difference in us making the playoffs last year. So it's a disconnect. And I don't really know what to make of it. I'm just being honest with all you guys. I'm trying to think back to all the times I played sports, played in college, played in high school, played as an adult. I'm trying to think, did I ever play on a team that played really hard but was also soft at the same time? I thought of a couple of players who I thought really gave their all but were sort of weak ass. I thought of some guys like that who were just soft by nature, not by attitude. But I don't know if that was really the Bucks situation, and I don't know how that applies. It's a tough concept to wrap your head around. And when I combine that with something Jameis Winston said recently, it's also in Ira Kaufman's column, the great sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks fan columnist for the last couple of years, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. I know you all don't read Ira's columns, even though you should. There's always something in there. It's always worth reading. But one thing he said, or he quoted Jameis as saying, was recently Jameis spoke, and he said that it's about the postseason. It's about getting some wins together. It's about bringing this community behind us. It's about really changing this culture around here, and we're taking strides to that, but now it's time to get it done. So I listened to Jameis say that. I remember when he said it, and I read seeing it in print, and I'm wondering, why is it taking so long to change the culture? I mean, Jameis wasn't talking about, you know, tweaking the culture and enhancing it a little bit. It's like it needs to be changed. This is his fourth year. This is Dirk Cutter's fourth year with the offense, third year as head coach. The culture should be firmly established, yet everything about this offseason felt like the Bucs were still changing the culture, but at the same time, they're telling us how hard the team was playing. A lot of mixed messages, and I'm not sitting here with answers. I'm just saying it's a lot of mixed messages, and you know, I'd love to get some of your feedback. You want to throw it in the comments? You want to tweet it at Joe, at Joe Bucs fan? Go for it. I'm just throwing it out there that it just doesn't, something smells funny. Now, that doesn't mean it's negative. You do need to get better. The Bucs did get better. I'm optimistic. A lot of people think, Joe Bucs fan, we get it in the comments, we get it elsewhere. Oh, you guys are negative. You guys are negative. Too negative. We're not negative in the sense that I sit here thinking the team's going to suck this year. I don't think that. Lee DeCamper, Joe Bucs fan, he doesn't think that. There's a lot to be proven. There's a lot to be seen. Those first four games, you better win two of them or you do suck, right? Doesn't 1-3 suck? There has to be a dose of realism, and I think we try to deliver that. I think most people realize that for every 20, 25 stories, there's loads of positive ones in there, a lot of optimistic stuff. One thing I'm proud of on JoeBucsFan.com is that we don't play one story over another. There's no featured story. There's no big blowout. There's no everything gets equal due. We spit it out there, goes on top of the page, it flows down, and it goes away. You know, that's how we treat each thing, because each day is a new day. It's part of the roller coaster of being a fan. You deal with what's in front of you, happy, sad, whatever it is, and you deal with it, and you express it, and you move on. And that's really what we try to do at JoeBucsFan.com. And look, all of you who work jobs, own your own business, whatever it is you're doing, that's what you do in your life. You deal with what's on your plate, you express your feelings, and you hopefully don't let it linger. You go on to the next thing. Doesn't mean you forget it, whatever, but anyway, you sort of get the idea. A few things I wrote over the weekend, which, you know, we write what we think is interesting. That's really it. If I don't think it's interesting, if Lee doesn't think he likes it, that's it. We don't have production meetings and editorial meetings and try to pull spin jobs or whatever. It's just not the way it goes, even though some people think that. I wrote about Carlton Davis, second round pick taken 63 overall, the second cornerback pick, shocked a lot of people that he went second before MJ Stewart of North Carolina. And we've got high hopes for these guys, right? My hope is just one, please, just one pan out, one turn into a good cornerback. And this is a win by Jason Light. I've said that before. But the Davis thing is interesting. I was digging a little deeper into him, you know, drafts over, take a deep breath, find out a little more about these guys. We're going to be talking to them at the rookie minicamp. So it's nice to, you know, have a clue what to talk to them about. I've looked up a lot of stuff on a lot of guys. There's a lot out there. All of these players that were drafted were pretty popular guys at their campuses and a lot of respect for the players, which is usually a good thing. Sometimes it's kind of, eh, you know, even the guy's local team isn't too interested, his local town, which sometimes that tells you something. I was always blown away that in Kansas, in his hometown, in his home city, where there's not exactly a quarterback factory coming out of Kansas City and Manhattan, Kansas, nobody was really ever that interested in Josh Freeman out there. They weren't interested in you didn't see stories popping up in local media. Oh, here's what Josh is doing with the Bucs. It was just odd. We'll leave that alone. Carlton Davis, out of Auburn, he fell in the draft. Mark Dominic, former Bucs GM. I remember hearing him on national radio after the Bucs picked him on Sirius, after the Bucs picked Davis. He was surprised that Davis fell. He's like, I got to figure out what actually happened there. It doesn't make any sense. Chris Sims, others, several. Guy was considered a first-round talent, yet there he is late in the second round for the Bucs. And a little more digging, you know, I'm reading about this stuff, which I had heard about, but really never dove into. Davis didn't play in the Peach Bowl, where Auburn lost to UCF. And of course, UCF blubbering all over town. Hey, we're the undefeated. We're the national champs. You know, good for them. They had a right to be cocky, but that was the game. Davis, obviously a key player. He didn't play. And Auburn coach Gus Malzahn is telling people before the game leading up to it, oh, Davis is ill. And then he says, oh, well, Davis was sent home, undisclosed illness. He's not going to recover. Then Davis's teammates come out and say, oh, no, he was just going pro. He's fine. And then Davis is asked about it, and he's like sort of all over the place, you know, saying that, well, I was sort of recovering from a concussion, but I had a sinus infection. I read that. I'm like, a sinus infection? That's going to keep you out of a bowl game? A sinus infection? Really? I mean, I'm sure many of you have had sinus infections. It's something you should be able to play football through if you're an elite athlete. And other things he was saying, like, I wasn't ready to play my best game, so I just decided to sit out. He was being very, very flaky about why he didn't play in a bowl game, where, to me, there was no shame in just saying, I'm turning pro, means too much to my family to possibly get hurt, feel bad for my teammates, but I'm going pro. It's a decision other guys have made. I'm making it too, and that's it. I don't know why he didn't say that. And maybe that was a red flag for teams, because maybe there was something a lot deeper going on. But the beauty there is a clean slate. Davis gets a clean slate, and I'm going to hope that it wasn't a concussion. I'm going to hope that he doesn't have communication issues and isn't a BS artist. I'm just going to think that it was a young guy in a spot where, you know what, he didn't know how to handle saying that he's quitting on his team, and his head coach didn't give him good advice or didn't take the bullet for him and let everybody know on behalf of Davis, and it just got messy. But maybe that did make him fall in the draft, and that would be the Bucks' gain. It would be very interesting to know the truth, and we'll never know the truth on whether the Bucks really plan to take two corners in the second round of the draft. Maybe they never thought Davis would get there and they pounced on him, versus two corners being the plan. No matter what they say, we'll never really know. And I'm not calling Jason Light a liar, but when you hear him quoted places, you got to take a lot of things with a grain of salt and understand that you're not always getting the whole truth. You might be getting a truth, but not the whole truth. But here we are with Davis, 6'1 corner, a press guy, a guy that former Bucks defensive coordinator Doug Graber, going back to the 80s, he was a successful Rutgers coach, but before the program went completely in the toilet and then was resurrected by Greg Schiano. He also won an NFL Europe defensive backs guru. He coached Carlton Davis in Pensacola back in the pre-draft process for weeks. So he knows him very well, was impressed by him. It says he has all the skills. And, you know, Dirk Cutter, after the draft, was talking about how they need that long corner, that press big guy to press the big receivers in the division, the Funchesses, the Julio Jones, Stewart on New Orleans, or Michael Thomas on New Orleans. So, you know what? I found that interesting because we saw Brent Grimes not assigned to those receivers, to specifically Julio Jones, in to cover one-on-one, and the Bucks got roasted against Atlanta, and we never really got a good answer why. We just heard, oh, we tried 17 different coverages, and we weren't going, you can't just go man-to-man on Grimes and their best receiver. You can't do that. Yet Cutter was sort of saying that, hey, that's the way to cover the big receivers in the division. So that was a little bit of a, that doesn't necessarily fit there, Mr. Cutter. And of course, if they told Grimes, you have to cover this way, we want him covered with this style, don't you think he would have done it? Maybe not. Maybe when you tell a veteran corner, cover this guy one-on-one, he's going to use his judgment, and you have to trust a lot of that. And Grimes has been successful more in off coverage and then breaking to the ball and using his smarts and savvy and ability to understand what the quarterback's doing and all that. But that's another thing that was sort of a mixed message. But I think what's not mixed is that the Bucks like that Davis can probably be that press cover corner, man up, and get it done in that style. And if he is, man, the Bucks hit a home run. But you know what? If Stewart is, just one, please, just one of these guys work out. That'll make it all worthwhile. I also thought it was interesting out of that Doug Graber. I mentioned Doug Graber because he was on local radio, and he said that he played, one of his players when he was coaching was John Hoke, the Bucks secondary coach. And that really that really had me sitting on the edge of my seat saying, oh, what is he going to say that Hoke told him? And he admitted that he's in regular contact with Hoke and he still pays attention to the Bucks and likes the Bucks. I know he lives locally and all that. So the one thing of note that he said was, hey, you know, you got to have a short memory and you can't lose confidence playing cornerback. And that was Hargrave's issue, that he had a few bad experiences, Graber said, and he talked to Coach Hoke about him. And they liked how he came back when he was playing in the slot after he was benched. But it was a confidence issue, if you read between the lines. And he flat out said it was a confidence issue. So if Hargraves, if he really was just struggling because his head wasn't right, well, that's good and that's bad, because that could be fixed in the right environment, or to get a little more confidence, maybe with a better pass rush might give him more confidence. Maybe time away and being hungry will give him more confidence. I don't know. But confidence can be a hiccup that can be overcome. It's better than, better than drugs, or better than just not having the talent. Confidence, maybe he can get there. Maybe the coaches can reach him differently. I don't know. I'm not counting on it. But it was an interesting take from Doug Graber on Hargraves and the fact that he also knows Mr. Davis, who I just getting the feeling that, you know what, maybe the draft overlooked him for a way that's going to benefit the Bucks. I'm going to be absolutely optimistic with that. I want you now, if you haven't done it yet, please text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. That's going to get you all the information as it comes, when it comes, on the trip to New Orleans, the Bourbon Street Takeover, run by fanretreat.com with Bucks Uncensored and the Stick Carriers, as well as Ira Kaufman's going to be there. A lot of fun. First real Joe Bucks fan road trip. Ours was canceled last year with the hurricane, unfortunately, on opening day. But this year, it's coming in. I don't know what the weather's going to be, but it's going to happen. Just text, get the information, TAKEOVER to 345-345. Now, what else is going on in Bucks land? Huh? The rookies are coming in Friday. The rookie minicamp scheduled for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But usually Coach Cutter gives them Sunday off. So it's usually just Friday and Saturday. And what happens there? Not much. Not much, really. They're just trying to dump a lot of the playbook on these guys, get them acclimated as quickly as possible. So when they integrate with the veterans, when they get into real practice, the spring practices, which will come up a week afterwards, they're just sort of ready to go and they're not totally green. So the rookies don't have to prove much. They just have to sort of show that they know the routine, know what they're doing, and can learn the playbook. The tryout players, those are the guys who have to really impress. Those are the guys who need to show up in a hurry. I was reading a neat story about a receiver out of Hobart who was consulting with Ali Marpet on getting into the league. He didn't get drafted. He hoped he would have been a late-round pick. He wasn't an undrafted free agent. So he was going to a tryout in Minnesota this past weekend, a rookie mini camp, and possibly going to Chicago. And those are the guys coming in who need to impress so they can get signed to get to training camp, right? That's the next step. Get to training camp, get on the roster, and give it your best shot in training camp. So there's not much to glean from these rookie mini camps. Maybe the biggest thing I remember from rookie mini camp was just sick, absolutely sick catch that Mike Evans made in rookie minicamp, a one-handed grab. His full vertical leap was going on. He had his sort of legs up. It was just an incredible grab. It was a nice little glimpse of what was to come. And, of course, you'll see a lot of the raw talent flashed, but it's not real football, right? When they hand off to Ronald Jones and nobody's blocking and you're seeing him cut, whatever. But we'll fill you in. We'll watch it all. We'll have notes. And it just makes it feel like real football is that much closer. Now, I wanted to hit two more things before we blow out of here. One thing that sort of got lost in the schedule shuffle and the draft, and something I'm really pumped up about, just as a football fan, especially as a Bucks fan, but just as a pure football fan, opening day in New Orleans, think about it. This is a Bucks team that just played the Saints, so that's really cool. But they're returning their head coach. I mentioned to you on a previous podcast, Dirk Cutter is actually the longest running consecutive play caller with the same quarterback in the NFC. Dirk Cutter. Sean Payton took a break at one point. So did Mike McCarthy. Dirk Cutter now 4 years in a row. He leads there. Sean Payton, of course, is in perfect sync with Drew Brees. The Saints are returning their defense. Bucks have the same coordinator. There's no learning curve going on here. It is straight one team against the other, two head coaches, two play caller chess players against the other team. Both teams know each other well. And Cutter, of course, and Sean Payton, they're going through what they're going to go through to get their rookies ready and build their team chemistry for the year. But the action for opening day in one buck play starts right now. It starts right now, and that might not be the case if there was a lot of change with the Bucks, new quarterback, whatever, or same thing with the Saints. But these are two teams coming back, full strength, full throttle, just played each other on the last game of the season, and they're already angling on opening day. You can bet that Mike Smith is watching film on how JPP has played against the Saints offensive linemen and how Vinnie Curry and how the rotation might go specifically against those guys. And the Saints, I bet you they're watching Carlton Davis tape right now. They've started on Davis tape to project, okay, if this guy's the starter, what are his tendencies? What are we going to do? How are we going to first attack him? It starts now, and it's just a cool matchup with both head coaches being the play callers, both head coaches with this apparent hatred for each other. Right now, they both denied it, but let's be real here. We saw what happened at the end of the year where they're playing slappies and Sean Payton slapping Dirk Cutter on the chest and Cutter's just sort of whacking him back and it's all weird and stuff. And Payton probably still mad from the Lattimore incident with Jameis Winston and Mike Evans and all that and the suspension that Evans got from there. So it's a great opening day matchup. But I just wanted to point out that the chess match really begins now. And I think, we heard Lovie Smith talk about Tennessee ready. That was a running theme of Lovie, and it turned into a bad Buccaneers joke. But the Bucs have to be Saints ready. And it runs deeper this year because it is going to be the ultimate chess match. And if you're not ready, you're going to get humiliated. And on the flip side, if Dirk Cutter wins, hey, what a job that would be. And you know what? Dirk Cutter has found a way in his first 2 years as head coach to have his team completely 100% ready on opening day. They blew out the Bears last year. They were up, 27-0, something like that. 2 years ago, they beat Atlanta in Atlanta, and Atlanta went to the Super Bowl that year. So Cutter knows how to get these guys ready on opening day. Now, maybe he doesn't know how to get them ready for their first or second road game. That's a different story. Maybe they go a little too soft and they burn out quick. I don't know. We're going to learn a lot of answers this year. But that opening day, I hate to say it, that it's critical, but it is. It's become a must win with the schedule the way it is. You know, unless you finish in first place, your schedule the following year, every team that does not finish in first place, the schedule the following year includes three division winners. The team in your own division, the team in the NFC conference that you're playing, that you're dedicated to playing that year. In this case, it's the Bucks in the NFC East and the Eagles, and the AFC conference winner in the AFC conference that you play. And the Bucks have all three division winners. Boom, boom, boom. 1, 2, 3. So it only gets easier after that, in theory. But it's a great way to start. It's just exciting. If you're a football fan, you love it. It's much more exciting, even though I wanted the Bucks to play the Bengals to open up on the road against a sketchier team and no threat of bad weather, or at least hurricane weather. Well, this is a lot more exciting, and it's going to say a lot about Dirk Cutter. It really is. I don't know what it's going to say. It's a long way off, but it feels close. It feels exciting. Only 4 months, folks. 4 freaking months. That's why you got to text TAKEOVER to 345-345 for the fan retreat info and possibly heading out there with us. But, of course, we're going to have a watch party here locally That news is coming, and there's so much going on. Lavonte David, going to close with him. Lavonte David, I felt bad for the guy last week. You got to go see the video on Buccaneers.com, or you can find it on YouTube. You know, Lavonte David met them with the media, answered a ton of questions. Good guy, good dude. Not the most interesting guy, but good guy. And he's talking about his shoulders. They didn't feel right all year, and he just spent a lot of time this offseason trying to get him back together where he can, quote, take a lot of banging or whatever. And he says he feels great, whatever. But it's a bad sign. Bad sign. Not everybody's Derek Brooks. Not everybody is Rondae Barber. And guys break down. That's football. And that's no knock on Rondae Barber. For him to be going into year seven, hard to believe, year seven, and he's feeling it. And that wasn't even his big injury last year. It was an ankle. And his shoulders are, you know, in tough shape. Now think about it. Lavonte David had an ankle. He was out for a few weeks, so his shoulders got a break. They got a mid-season break. And they were messed up throughout the year. I hope he's better. I really do. Because, you know, it's just football. It's just football. Gerald McCoy has talked about his knees before, and these guys do break down. You hope there's more time in Lavonte David. Speaking of Sean Payton, I've talked to Sean Payton about Lavonte David privately, and he's just a massive Lavonte David fan. You know, just loves him as a three-down linebacker, feels that he changed a lot in this league and even changed a lot for other guys coming into the league. To everybody was looking for that Lavonte David type of clone. I hope this isn't step one toward the end of an era with Lavonte David, but you got to take that injury talk seriously. And thankfully the Bucs have depth. Hopefully Kendall Beckwith can get back. Devontae Bond. No, I'm not riding off Lavonte David. No, I'm not blasting the guy, but it happens. You wear down. He's played a lot of games. And he hits hard, plays hard, three-down linebacker. I don't know how many seasons he's got. You know, the window on some of these older Bucks, I don't know what that is. None of us do. But I felt bad for him. I'm glad that he feels better. And I hope for Bucks fans' sake he's got 3 years left instead of one or 10 games or, you know, is starting to break down. So it's just a cold reality, and when you hear it, for me, it smacks me because it's football, and you just can't expect these guys to be Madden players where you just plug them in and away they go. And speaking of away they go, this podcast is winding down. You know, we're doesn't always get up, doesn't always get posted when you all want it to. I get that. Monday morning is just not the best time for Monday Morning Joe, at least for this Joe. But it's not about that. I want to make sure the podcast is at least at a certain level, and sometimes that takes till a little bit later in the day, and it's all good. You know what? As many people listen to it if I post it at 3 as they do at 8, but the goal is always early, and I'm going to keep surprising you when there will be some days when this thing pops early, absolutely, especially in the summer when I'll be doing some more things a little bit more in advance as the news doesn't change as much, and we're going to have some interviews as well. So anyway, hope you are fiery, passionate for your Bucks. Of course, we are never going to let up through the summer on JoeBucksFan.com. Our 10-year anniversary is coming up. There will be some sort of party, some sort of something. We got to get the training camp dates first because the 10-year anniversary is in early August. But there's going to be some sort of party, some sort of free party, some sort of way to show some appreciation for all of you Buccaneers fans and all the readers of Joe Bucks Fan. And that's about that. Do we have changes coming to the site? Do we have some new wrinkles? Usually every year we try to throw in a new wrinkle. Yeah, we do. We do. They're being baked right now, and we'll see how that goes. But we're always trying to get better, not necessarily different, not necessarily some sort of huge changes. Joe Bucks Fan looks exactly the way it did 10 years ago as far as the website. But we're always trying to get better and get after it, right? Because we don't want to be soft. We play hard, but we don't want to be soft. We want to keep that nasty edge, and that's kind of easy for us because we're fiery, man. We want to win the war on Bucks, whatever that is, and you know. And I think actually, what we want to do is be happier because the team is winning and all these years of losing. It's weighing on me. It's weighing on a lot of fans, but the optimism is back, even if it's cautious. And go Bucks.